The following message is a teaching by Dr. Jason DeRoshi, Associate Professor of Old Testament at Bethlehem College and Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. More information about Jason can be found at deroshi-meyer.org.
Would you pray with me again? Heavenly Father, you have met us through the person of your Son, and I'm asking now for more grace. Charging a pastor as an under-shepherd of your flock to stay faithful. My words will not matter unless the Spirit of the resurrected Christ comes and empowers our brother to be the leader that you would have him be. May my words honor you, and may they challenge my brother as you would see fit. For the glory of your Son, I pray. Amen. It is such a delight to be here on this momentous occasion. My charge tonight is simple. Pastor David, other leaders of this church, all in the congregation, stay plugged into the power or the light will not be on. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Like the apostle so long ago, Pastor David has been set apart for the gospel of Christ, the divine, crucified, and resurrected Messiah. The apostle told us some of what he meant by the gospel in Romans 5, 8, and 9. God shows us his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. Did you hear that? For Paul, those who have already been made right with God, those who have been justified, still will be saved from the wrath of God. For Paul, salvation was bigger than just conversion. Salvation was all of life. It was past, present, and future. Those who have trusted in Jesus as their Savior, Sovereign, and Satisfier have been saved, are being saved, and will be saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God for us who are being saved, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And then, since we have now been justified through his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. Paul commends, work out your salvation. Work it out today with fear and with trembling. Philippians 2:12. And then back in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, past, present, and future, for everyone who believes. Do you believe tonight? The Church of God bears a mission of salvation. And the gospel is the only power to help us fulfill that task. Even your own statement of faith here at Kenwood affirms that the church bears the task of evangelizing the world and advancing the interests of the kingdom of God. That word evangelizing is the verbal form of the noun for gospel. Kenwood must be a place that points people to the only power that can save them from their own sinfulness, save them from the curse, save them from the just wrath of God. I say just wrath of God because if God is a good judge, and God is a good judge, that means that out of necessity, he must punish the sinner. Or he can choose to pour down his wrath upon the substitute. And in love, Jesus came and took upon himself the wrath of God for everyone who believes. In that great exchange of the ages, he, God, made him to be sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Pastor David, this world is so dark. There are so many enemies that are trying to pull people away from faith in God. Temptation to compromise rises with every click of the mouse, with every walk through the checkout line, with every time you pay a bill, with every time you watch a commercial. But the potential of dishonoring God in our life goes even more deeper, for all things are from him, through him, and to him. That means all of life is about worship. Even a spoon of oatmeal or a swig of orange juice bears the danger of dishonoring our God, for whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. No closet of our lives can be left uncleaned, because every bit of us is to declare there is only one God, and I love him with all. Pride and prejudice, bitterness and blame, lust and laziness, apathy and resentment, doubt, deceit, these were all enemies that Jesus conquered at the cross, and they are supposed to be our enemies. In this broken world filled with broken people, what is it that will give the power for a husband to break the chains of pornography, to help a woman to continue in her faith in God through a miscarriage? Where's that power going to come? Where's the power going to come to overcome the sinfulness of racism in the soul, to crush arrogance? Where's the power going to come to move one out of selfishness, to be willing to enter into the messy and yet beautiful world of adoption? Where's the power going to come to raise up people who are willing to do the radical, radical thing of leaving family and friends, leaving the comforts of the West in order to go abroad for the sake of the name as a missionary? The good news of Christ alone is the power of God for salvation. And it's given without partiality to Jew and non-Jew alike. Do you know this power? Pastor David, and all others here at Kenwood Baptist, may the ministry of this church, all the preaching, all the programs, be tapped into the power. Because only if you're tapped into the power of the gospel will the light of Christ shine. The power of God that saves you. The power of God that will save others is alone the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question becomes, though, how does the power work? How is it that the gospel actually becomes power for saving me from past, present, and future? How does it save me? How does it save me? How does it work? A few reflections. The power of the cross and the resurrection comes to us first through blood-bought pardon. Blood-bought pardon in the cross. For Christians, picture this, the cross is past tense, and every step as we walk toward God is done in light of God's already being for us 100%. What I mean is, Pastor David, the only sin that you can conquer in your life, and the only sins that any of these people can conquer in their lives, are sins that are already dealt with at the cross. We need blood-bought power for pursuing holiness. There is such amazing freedom in this kind of power. No condemnation, now I dread. And every time I wake up in the morning and I see Jesus seated on the throne and knowing that in all his authority, in all his power, he is working for me and his presence is with me, all of a sudden I have fuel that I couldn't have had in any other way for overcoming the sins of my own life and the burdens of this very broken world. Why do we have this authority working for us? Because sin has already been beaten. Righteousness has already been gained. Mercy has already been won. Hope has already been secured. And all that power is real and present for us today. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The gospel is the power of God for salvation. So David, if you need to be saved from pride, spend time camping in the gospel, and it will automatically remind you of your own sinfulness, your own neediness. And it'll overcome all self-exalting boasting. Pastor David, if you struggle with discouragement, and so many pastors do, then be a pastor, be a papa, be a friend who saturates himself in the gospel, and it will remind you how much you are loved and provide you an antidote for despondency when the darkness comes. In light of the gospel, fear of failure, fear of loss, fear of lack, all of it is crushed. Why? Because the greatest enemy was destroyed at the cross, and the victor is with us and for us forevermore. Oh, the power of the cross to save us from ourselves, save us from the curse, save us from the wrath of God. Being a cross-centered minister, being a cross-centered people will help remind you how you have already experienced the wrath-overcoming mercy of God while you were still a sinner, and all of a sudden, it won't let you, if you've really experienced that love, it won't let you retain bitterness in your soul, and it will empower you to love the marginalized, love the broken, love those who are just plain difficult to love. Pastor David, the reality of blood-bought pardon becomes an amazing power for your own salvation and for the salvation of this people. So I charge you in the name of the resurrected Son of God, be a gospel-centered minister. The power of the gospel, though, is not simply relegated to the past pardon that we've enjoyed, for that past pardon secures blood-bought promises. We live in our pursuit of God between two poles, past grace of pardon and future grace of promise. This week, my wife had to do something she's never done before. She had to write a letter to a friend in her 40s saying goodbye. This friend has terminal cancer. She loves Jesus. She's a mom of four, and she has a loving husband, and she's been told that she has less than 2 weeks before she'll see Jesus face to face. And what has kept her persevering in her trust in God is her conviction that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. It's her conviction that the worth of Christ matters, that when God promises something, he's telling the truth, that he is wholly trustworthy, that he will indeed take care of her family, and that he indeed has a home waiting for her. What you hope for tomorrow changes who you are today. Peter put it this way: God has given us precious and very great promises, so that through them we may partake of the divine nature. As we focus on the promise, we will begin to look more like God and escape the corruption of the world brought about by evil desire. Promises that are blood-bought have power to make us different kinds of people today. So we confront lust by trusting the pure in heart will see God. We overcome covetousness in our soul, and we nurture contentment because God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When we lose a job or when we face loss, we hold fast to the hope, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And when death's shadow comes near, we say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. The gospel is the power of God for salvation, past, present, and future. The gospel is the power of God because of blood-bought pardon and blood-bought promises. So, Pastor David, other leaders in this church and congregation, I charge you in the name of Jesus, the divine, crucified, and resurrected Messiah, that you stay plugged into his power so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ may shine. And as it shine, that it may give you hope and help, and not only you, but the others in this community who so are desperately in need of light. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor David to come right up here, and I'm going to lay my hands on him and pray for him. I'll put my hands on him as an expression of God's presence for him. God is justly for your pastor, because of what Jesus has done. And God is the one who is building his church, and this is a night about God's faithfulness to his people to raise up but one more shepherd. Pray with me. Father in heaven, you are good. You have saved us, you rule us, and you have satisfied us, and we praise you. We praise you for provision and protection in our lives, that you are a God who sends us guardians, who sends us those who can feed us. I praise you for David Palmer and for your grace on his life. I ask, Lord, first for his personal walk with you, that you would keep him from stumbling, in order that he might be presented blameless on the day of your appearing. I pray that you would keep him from all evil and keep his nose in your book. And as he seeks you, may he find you, and may it help him to lead his wife and his children in godliness. May it all start there, and may the glory you let this people experience be authentic, growing out of a man who is truly met with Jesus. I pray that he would be one who has set his heart to study the Word of God, to practice the Word of God, and only then to teach the Word of God. I pray that Salome and Jonathan would see in their daddy what it means to be a man, what it means to be one who is surrendered, a provider, a protector, a lover of their mommy. I pray that you would guard him from all evil, and that Christine would feel treasured, just like the church is treasured by you. I pray that when David fills the pulpit, that he would speak as if speaking the very oracles of God, that he would serve in the strength that you supply, so that in all things Christ may be praised, that David might be less, that you might be made more. Father, you have raised up a man. That's all he is, a jar of clay, in order to show that the surpassing power comes not from him, but from you. So may you be the one who is exalted in his life. And then, Lord, as he enters into the counseling room, into the leadership meetings, may the vision casting be God-honoring. May he operate not as one who is over these people, but one who is among them and leading them as a servant, like you did on the night of your Last Supper, when you knelt and everyone knew who the leader in the room was. May he be that kind of a man, that kind of a leader, a servant. Make his life a sacrifice for you. May he live as one for whom it could be said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And may he help these people in this church live and die well. May from his lips, week after week, be proclaimed such a majestic picture of Jesus, such a glorious vision of what has been purchased for us, and such a clear conviction of the power that is already ours, that people are turned to you and saved, that they find hope and help in the midst of this dark and broken yet beautiful world. May this man be an imager of you, one who reflects and resembles and represents the living God, and who points them to the ultimate image bearer himself. May David be a leader that honors your name, that operates for your fame. I praise you for your calling on this man's life. I thank you for the brotherhood that you have allowed me to enjoy with him. I thank you that you have kept him from stumbling. Continue to do it for your sake and for the good of this church. May there be a long obedience in the same direction. In Christ I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from the ministry of Dr. Jason DeRoshi, Associate Professor of Old Testament at Bethlehem College and Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies or alter their content in any way without written permission from Jason DeRoshi. For more information on Bethlehem College and Seminary, we invite you to visit online at bcsmn.org. For more information on Dr. DeRoshi, visit online at deroshi-meyer.org. Proclaiming the kingdom and treasuring a God who rules, saves, and satisfies through covenant for his glory in Christ.